Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, major construction milestone achieved for the Aspirus Chippewa Falls Hospital and Clinic, looking to open September 1st. Also, a formerly incarcerated Wisconsin instructor reshapes the criminal justice education at UW-Madison. A Wisconsin law firm works county by county to dismantle the Medicaid birth tax. And also, we'll talk about child care from a Republican and Democratic perspective. Plus, get the Democratic weekly radio address from Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Republican weekly radio address from Senate President Mary Felskowski. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening. Aspirus Health reached a major construction milestone this week as large prefabricated sections of its new Aspirus Chippewa Falls Hospital and Clinic were lifted into place by crane and set within the building footprint. Work crews installed emergency department modules and roof cassettes during the first half of the week, followed by clinic modules and additional roof components later in the week. Ann Sadowska, Chief Administrative Officer, Aspirus Wisconsin Northwest Division, says,
I mean, it's so exciting. We've been talking about this project for over a year operationally. So to be here and see the modular pieces installed is, words can't actually describe how exciting that is. It's really going to happen, and we're really going to serve patients in this community.
Nathan Cedar is project executive for the Bolt Company.
Yeah, really exciting day and week for us here with the mods coming in and getting set this week. You know, we just saw the last roof cassette go in. Just the amount of time of preparation and planning to make that all possible to get to this point where we're actually installing these is pretty amazing. I've been on a lot of project sites, and when you see a temp wall up one day and then you come back and it's a fully built out area, that's not normal. So what we're doing here is pretty amazing.
About 30% of the building was fabricated off site and is being integrated with traditionally built components. This hybrid modular approach is being led by the Bolt Company as construction manager and on-site lead, with Bolt serving as the industrialized construction partner. HGA is the project architect. Again, Nathan Cedar.
Speed to market's been, you know, the goal here from day one for this project in particular. And when you get a lot of smart people at the table to look through a lot of different iterations of what that mix is going to be with modular versus traditional, you know, what we ended up here with about a 70-30 mix, you know, just from a control aspect, you know, with what they're doing with the Oshkosh factory with built with these modular components, completely controlled environment. So, you know, you're getting the same quality, we're using the same product mix. Same teams, essentially, pretty much top to bottom. And it decongests our traditional construction site. So we know, you know, if we had a couple cold weeks there where we're working on enclosure and ironwork over here, we know these mods are on track over in Oshkosh, leading up to where we got to here today and this week.
And Chief Administrative Officer for Aspirus Wisconsin Northwest Division, Ann Sadowska, was asked what's been going on behind the scenes to make sure Aspirus's new Chippewa Falls Hospital is ready to go in September.
Well, as we know, hospitals have lots of policies and procedures. So there's been a lot of work happening within the team to get our policies and procedures so that we're ready to open when it comes day one. Staffing, what do we need for staff working through posting those positions? And then, of course, the operations. How are we going to operate? What do we need to operate? What supplies do we need? So working through all that logistical information so we're prepared for day one.
Nathan Cedar was asked, what kind of coordination does it take to pull off something like this?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It really requires every aspect of the project team to buy in, really starting with Aspirus and the owner to have an open mind and take the innovative step along with Bolt and Built and our teams on this project. It pushes forward some of the design aspects and components of the project, really helps us, you know, stay organized and really builds reliability into the overall schedule to know that we can get this project out open and this facility running for the community as quick as possible.
And just how unique is this structure?
It's prefabrication has been a buzzword in the construction industry for many years. But what we're looking at here is really leading edge stuff as far as actually getting full modular components delivered, hoisted, set with roof cassettes. We're literally connecting up plumbing fixtures that are pre-installed in these units within minutes of them being set on site. So pretty amazing.
The new hospital and clinic are being built on a 22-acre greenfield site and is designed to expand access to high-quality care close to home. Once completed, it'll offer primary care, emergency services, inpatient care, lab services, and imaging. Finally, Cedar says,
I just want to say, we know how important this project is for this community in particular. The healthcare organization landscape, certainly here in the last couple of years, just to be part of filling the need and working with the Spirus and the teams, to get this facility opening for the community, staff and care providers is it's hard to put into words. So we're happy we're on track here for a September 1 open.
Meanwhile, a new class at the University of Wisconsin Law School aims to fill gaps in traditional legal training by letting students learn from a formerly incarcerated professor. The class, called Criminal Justice System, A Lived Experience Perspective, aims to provide students with a real image of incarceration from arrest to reentry. Dante Cottingham is a co-instructor who served substantial time in Wisconsin's prison system. He says students are often taught to understand what the law says on paper, but lack exposure to its real-world impacts.
I told the students, you guys bring a learned experience to the table. I bring a lived experience to the table. So my whole hope is to connect their learned experience with my lived experience and create something new, something more potent, something more powerful.
The class is in its first semester. Cottingham says not only is it already proving to be transformational for students, it's also changing the narrative by showing people what's possible during life after prison. Meanwhile, clinical professor Adam Stevenson co-facilitates the class with Cottingham. He says what makes it so unique is that it centers the voices of criminal defendants. He says their perspectives are often absent despite their lives being fundamentally changed by the criminal justice system.
This system, for good, for bad, is a system based around humans and has all of the blessings and curses of being a human system. And the students really are demonstrating that they're understanding that and engaging with that in a way that I think I didn't even quite anticipate.
Stevenson says, to his knowledge, this is the first time a class like this has been taught. He stresses that in his 15-year teaching career, he's never seen a more engaged class of students and emphasizes how the experience is preparing them to be better people and better lawyers. Meanwhile, a public interest law firm in Wisconsin is working to eliminate a Medicaid birth tax in counties across the state. ABC for Health specializes in healthcare access issues for low-income clients. The firm's Bobby Peterson says Wisconsin's birth cost recovery policy requires unmarried women on Medicaid to identify absent fathers who are then pursued for delivery and birth costs.
We've seen it really break up and destroy families that were trying to get together because suddenly there's this huge amount of birth tax on the family that they have to pay back these Medicaid expenses.
Peterson says the firm has helped eliminate the policy in Milwaukee, Racine, and Dane County, slashing nearly $77 million in birth tax judgments against families. According to the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, unmarried mothers enrolled in BadgerCare who are not referred to the child support program don't have to repay birth costs. Peterson notes the policy remains active, though, in more than 60 counties of Wisconsin's 72, and some are more aggressive than others in pursuing collections.
People confuse this birth tax issue as child support. No, it's not. It's a separate issue. It's handled by the child support office, but all they're doing is trying to sue you to get you to repay the birth expenses, and then they keep part of it, which we call the county bounty.
The policy has been long debated in Wisconsin, with supporters arguing it promotes responsibility. Critics believe it harms low-income families, discourages paternity establishment, and disproportionately affects Black families. Wisconsin is only one of two states still enforcing the law. Meanwhile, during a recent floor session, the state assembly approved Senate Bill 291, authored by Representative Karen Hurd of Withy and Senator Howard Marklean of Spring Green, another Republican. This legislation builds upon the bipartisan child care investments made in the state budget by expanding the child care expenses eligible for the Business Development Tax Credit, or BDTC. Hurd says the bipartisan child care investments made in the upcoming state budget represent significant progress toward addressing the broken child care business model in our state. She goes on to say, while this legislation is not a silver bullet, it is another step forward in addressing our state's child care challenges. Currently, businesses can claim up to 15% of capital expenses for creating an employee child care program. SB 291 broadens eligibility for the tax credit to include operational costs, employee reimbursements, reserved child care slots, contributions to dependent care FSAs, and other employer-supported child care benefits. State Representative Karen Hurd says the business development tax credit is currently underutilized. She says broadening the child care investments employers can claim under this tax credit will incentivize more employers to aid their employees with child care costs. She says she's pleased to see SB 291 pass the assembly with bipartisan support and hopes that when the legislation reaches Governor Evers' desk, he will sign it into law. Meanwhile, more Democrats in Wisconsin are embracing universal child care as a solution to rising costs and economic strain on families. Wisconsin State Representative Francesca Hong, one of many Democrats running for governor, has made universal child care a central part of her campaign, calling it essential to addressing what she describes as a child care catastrophe. Democratic pollster Celinda Lake says Hong's position reflects a broader shift within the Democratic Party.
The formula for success for any Democrat is to win women by more than you lose men. And the caregiving agenda in general is a very big part of that and of making the economy work.
Lake says the COVID-19 pandemic served as a turning point to put child care front and center in the affordability agenda. Historically, universal child care has been politically contentious, but more states have recently taken steps toward adopting it. Celinda Lake says increased public awareness and grassroots organizing helped move the issue into the political mainstream.
There's been a complete collapse of our child care system. So now small businesses care about it, employers care about it, grandparents care about it, even parents with older children care about it, because people realize you can't have a functioning economy without a child care system.
While questions remain about funding and implementation, many Democrats have urged the party to embrace it as a national priority. And in this week's Democratic radio address, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says ensuring Wisconsinites have access to clean, safe water must be a top priority.
During the 2026, the year of the neighbor, ensuring our neighbors have access to clean, safe water has to be a top priority. Whether it's kids in the classrooms, families at home, or farmers or agricultural industries, Wisconsinites should be able to trust that the water coming out of their tap is safe. Simple as that. My administration and I have been working since day one to get harmful contaminants like lead and PFAS and copper out of our water for good. And this week, I'm excited to build upon our good work by approving our new rule to strengthen drinking water standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The new rule I approved will strengthen the enforceable standards for PFAS to help keep kids and families and communities healthy and safe. And folks, that's on top of our efforts to strengthen Wisconsin's lead and copper standards for public drinking water at the end of last year. Now, with stronger drinking water standards, it is more important than ever that we can support our farmers, public water systems, and homeowners in meeting these new requirements. I'm as optimistic as ever that PFAS can be a bipartisan success story for us in 2026. And I remain hopeful that Republican lawmakers will continue working with me and my administration to release $125 million to fight PFAS contamination statewide so we can get this done and get it done right. With that, I look forward to continuing our work to make sure Wisconsinites, no matter their zip code, have access to the safe and clean drinking water they need and deserve. Thank you.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. And in this week's Republican radio address, State Senate President Mary Felskowski criticizes Democratic Attorney General Josh Call for hiring privately funded attorneys to carry out what she says are progressive priorities at the Department of Justice.
Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call, New York University, Michael Bloomberg. What do they have in common? Since 2019, Josh Call has hired privately funded attorneys coordinated by New York University and paid for by Democratic billionaire Michael Bloomberg to carry out progressive priorities within the Wisconsin Department of Justice. These privately funded attorneys were granted full state power without legislative approval. They were special assistant attorney generals at DOJ, given all the power that accompanies that role, yet were paid for and could be fired by the Bloomberg-funded NYU Center. They were even participating in prosecutorial work before taking their oaths of office. Now, the State Senate Special Committee is asking the hard questions. Is this transparent? Who do these attorneys actually answer to? And is this even above board? Wisconsin's Department of Justice must answer to the people of the state, not to outside interests or partisan donors. The answers matter for oversight, for governance, and for the future of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's Department of Justice is not a NASCAR car to be plastered with sponsorship stickers, furnished by special interests.
State Senate President Mary Felskowski with this week's Republican radio address, wrapping up this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.